welcome to another episode of the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Chris White. Joining me this week, we have Mr. Adam Carroll. How are you doing, mate?
Happy to be here. I'm good. And you, man?
I'm good, man. Yeah, good. Very good. And we also have Gary Bailey as well.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm better.
Good. Good. That's what we want to hear. Because we missed you last week, both of you.
Oh.
It was very intimate, yeah. But we missed you. So you sound like... No, you didn't. You just said that.
I didn't fucking hear you saying you missed us.
In my heart, I did 1,000 times.
In your heart. Okay, that's all that matters.
Yeah. So, since you weren't here, we'll have to ask you what you've been playing. So, Adam, what have you been playing, mate?
So I'm playing a game. Was it? I think it would have been either last year or 2 years ago. But Chris, I know you're a massive fan. I have put in, I'd say, around 40 hours so far into Shadow of War.
Oh, mate.
I'm going to be honest here, right? I picked this game up for a tenner, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I walked into, like, my local GameStop and I just saw it for a tenner and I was like, I'll pick that up. If I'm honest, didn't get on with the Mordor game. It wasn't working for me at all. Just said one day, I'll throw in War. Had nothing to play at that particular time. I absolutely adore it.
Yes. It's like, great, isn't it?
It's so good. Like, I'm actually really gutted that I didn't play this around the time you were really championing it. Because it would have been up there for me for Game of the Year. Like, definitely. Mm. I can see what you're on about. And I even went back and read your review.
Yeah.
And everything you were saying... Like, how I think in the review you said at one stage how if you weren't playing the game, you were thinking of it. You were thinking of, like, what you were going to do next and, like, the sieges and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It just handles that kind of thing so well. And the game just moves very fast. The pace is way better than the first one, for me anyway.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The sieges are banging. The sieges are so good. Like, they honestly, like, you'd be knackered after it. Like, it'd be 15 minute battle and you're just tapping square and triangle non-stop.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, the general story, the lore and everything for Lord of the Rings is, it's just a treat. It just handles so much, like, greatness.
Yeah.
And even after finishing the whole thing, I've 100% completed the game. Like, I've done everything, but I'm about 5 trophies away from platinuming it now. And I honestly did not think that was going to be the case with this game. I thought, like, I was going to go in and play it and be like, yeah, same old thing, not really for me. But like, the fact that I'm aiming to, like, go for the platinum on it, and I'm definitely getting the DLC as well. It's just the combat and just the general, like, building of it all is just so fun. It's so addictive.
It is. And it's the way they add to the combat ever so slightly with every upgrade. But you know, you look back to when you first start playing it to where you are, like, near the end, and the amount of abilities you've got, but how you can kind of balance them all quite easily. It's, like, fascinating how they've managed to make this combat so, like, so fun to play but so effective. It's just, it's one of the best out there.
It just, like, everything sounds great and, like... I just really, really, I'm so surprised by the whole thing. Like,
I'm really happy that you love it.
I think I can hear you smiling from here, Chris. I think I actually hear it.
I'm smiling. I've got a stonk on, mate, if anything. Like,
but the,
this is amazing.
But that's fair, like, because when you did say it at the time, like, it was your game of the year.
Yeah.
And I was just, I remember sitting there going, fuck it, really? I was like, because all I have was the first game in my head and how that just did not click with me. I was like, really, how different can it be? And I think straight up anyway, the main difference is just how the world is designed this time around. I thought Mordor was just very, from the word go, it was very bland and open.
No, you're completely right.
This isn't popping with, like, colours left, right and centre, but, you know, there's more stuff in the world.
The world feels alive. It's not just a bleak kind of a few fields and a few castles where the castles are the only thing that are populated by orcs. The orcs are everywhere. The I can't remember what they're called, but, like, the commanders and everything. How the nemesis system works, where you're roaming about and then all of a sudden one of them charges into you, or when you've kind of hired one for yourself and you go into war and then all of a sudden he turns on you and stabs you in the back. Like, that whole system, like, makes it feel alive.
And it's like, I know that this was probably in the first game as well, but just, I'm just going off of my experience with this one and just getting to really know the Nemesis system and what they were aiming for. Like, it's really humorous at times because, like, sometimes when you get around to finding another guy the second time, like, he may have killed you the first time, the dialogue is very funny. Like, they just, how they remember you and they start saying something to you, and like, all you're doing in your head as the player is going, I just want to chop off your head. I swear, like, you're just, some of them get right under your skin, you know?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Just look, that's all. Like, I've just poured in so much time into that. I have Devil May Cry next, which I'm very excited for. But I'm just really taken back by this. And if anyone can, if anyone's out there that had the same experience where they weren't getting on with the first one, like, I'd say just jump straight into this. Like, it is well worth it.
Oh, mate, 40 hours, that's good. That's a good amount of time. No, that's amazing stuff. I'm really chuffed. I didn't think it was going to be Shadow of War when you were saying about a game.
Man, I didn't think I was going to be playing that either at the moment.
Wow. Well, there are some new games coming out soon that I've played one. But well, before we get to that, Gaz, you went on last week, mate. So what have you been up to?
I've been playing, I'll play for a preview, Close to the Sun, which best way I can describe it is like BioShock meets Outlast.
Okay, this is immediately fantastic.
It's really, it's kind of one of those things that it's really weird because it's all set like the end of the 19th century. It's like kind of an alternate history where Nikola Tesla is now like, he's kind of like the major player in power and weaponry and stuff like that. I mean, you kind of know Nikola Tesla anyway. He's a real person. But they've kind of fiddled with it a bit and he's now got like this big kind of almost like a floating fortress kind of thing called the Helios, and you're a woman called Rose. Basically, she gets a letter from her sister called Ada, who was sort of living and working aboard this Helios. It's on the, like, out in the sea somewhere, and she's basically saying, I need you to come and help. And you get there and it's like this, the whole place is abandoned, essentially, and you go through, like, the main door, and it shuts behind you, you turn around, and it's sort of got quarantine painted across it in big red colour. So, but I don't know how to say it. Oh, fuck it, I will. It's a minor, very minor spoiler. Essentially, it's all this red, and you're like, shit, this looks bad. You turn around, there's, like, red all the way up the floor. You follow, you're like, shit, this is going to go bad. And it's like a red paint can that's kind of knocked over. It's like, it's literally been painted, but it's like, it's so well done because it, you just kind of, obviously you're on edge. You're like, shit, this is not good. And then you're like, oh, it is actually paint. Oh. But yeah, like the preview I played, it was like the first two chapters, which is a lot of building the tension. You're looking around, you're finding little articles and stuff like that, which gives you sort of an idea of what the world is like, the history of this version of like the world, and you're getting to know like Tesla a little bit and what he's been up to. And one of the things is he's properly paranoid, basically, because he thinks that pretty much anyone that comes aboard this Helios is a spy for Thomas Edison. And to the point where there's one room that I went into, and it was an interrogation room. And I open up like this cabinet and it's just full of like bloody tools. And it's just like, oh, right, this is very wrong.
Shit.
And like one of the, at the end of the first chapter, you kind of get a quick glimpse of what's to come, because you get in like the lift at the end of the chapter, turn around and a dude's like banging on the window, and then you see quickly before the lift moves, and you're like, oh shit, this isn't good. Then sort of after you do those first two chapters, it jumps ahead to like chapter five or six. I think it was six. And that one is like you're seeing a little bit more of the story, and you see like there's a kind of hint of some kind of time stuff going on, because you'll see almost like glimpses of the past. Right. Like there's one bit you walk into this massive like ballroom kind of thing. It flashes for a second. You see like loads of people standing around in, you know, in like costumes and stuff, and then you're back to the future technically again. And everything's a bit mashed, but you still see like these golden silhouettes of these people. You can't interact with them, but you're sort of seeing what's happening, and you start to see these images of Tesla and Ada like talking, and you kind of getting a glimpse of like, okay, you're seeing the story, but you're not seeing all of it. And then you get into like a chase sequence, which that I hope they fix, because that's where the Outlast kind of vibe came in, because it was basically like Outlast where it's like, shit, I've got to run. You know, you can't fight back.
Yeah.
But it pissed me off so much, like so fucking much. I got so frustrated because I was running away from this guy and he was faster than me. Like there was nothing I could do. And there was like multiple routes. I'd go both routes and every time he'd catch me at the same place. And you'd have to watch this unskippable scene of him basically stabbing the shit out of you. And I was
nice.
Sorry, go on.
No, I just said nice.
but yeah, it was just like, I was getting frustrated because I'm like, how do I do this? Like, I'm literally doing everything I can in my power to get away from this guy. And literally, after about seven or eight attempts, it just let me do it. Just suddenly, I was, this entire time, I was about three steps away from the end of the preview. kind of made it just that slight bit more of an annoyance, because I'm like, all those attempts, and I was literally like three steps away. But I mean, hopefully that's just like, because it's a preview code, so, you know, it's...
Oh yeah, you'd think they'd sort that. So is it like a first person kind of game then?
Yeah, and it's very much like, If you have like Outlast, but you take away the camera kind of thing, and it's a, I suppose it's got elements of like Gone Home and that kind of thing, you know, where you're just sort of walking around investigating, then it cuts to sort of Outlast when you're getting chased by weird people with knives and.
So is it more of a horror game?
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, those first two chapters where it's building the atmosphere is just spot on, because. You're not other than the dude in the lift, which it kind of like you see him and like, oh shit, and then that's it. You don't see anything again in the second chapter. You just sort of, it's all sort of context clues, you know, like the stuff that you pick up with like the information, or just seeing like the interrogation room, that kind of thing. You're just like, something's going on, something dodgy is happening here. And you're like, where is everyone? And you've got the hints of the time stuff. So it's like, I'm really interested to see what they do. So I just hope that they fix the chase stuff. Because if they get that right, I think it'd be really, really good. There's like a lot of potential for it.
Sounds like
Is there a bit of like Call of Cthulhu in this?
No, it's very... I don't know, it feels like, other than the time stuff, it just feels like it's very rooted in science and stuff like that. It's not... I didn't get any sense of, like, cult stuff or out like that in it. But, you know, I've only seen three chapters, sort of. There's, like, a gap of, you know, chapter three, four, and five that they could very well be something like that.
Okay. Is it, like, PC only right now, or...?
The preview was PC, but it's coming to PS4 and Xbox One as well. I think it's out at the same time. I'll be honest, I'm being a bit shit here, but I can't remember the release date. Can't remember if it has a release date or not.
I'm actually just looking here, and it's just saying initial release date, March 2019.
Because right. I know that, like, the PC version is, I think, going to be exclusive to the Epic Store. Which... Again, they're getting quite a lot of stuff. I'm watching this kind of Epic Game Store thing with interest, seeing what happens. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this one now. Just say hope. I assume cool. they'll fix some of those things with it being preview code. So I've just got a bit of quiet hope for it.
Nice. That sounds good. I'm glad I have it's coming to console, so I'll be able to play it.
Yeah.
Because my PC is shite. Anyway, so I was in London last week playing a game that's coming out rather soon, and it was Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. So if you've been on the site, you'll have seen footage, you'll have seen the write-up that I wrote about it. But I played about 2 hours in total, which you'd think, yeah, that's a lot of time to get playing a video game for preview, but it's a From Software game. So for a lot of the first hour, I was trying to get past this one bit, and I was getting pissed off because, like, I was thinking, how the fuck am I going to record all these different areas that I can go to and talk about and all this? But you kind of it's the same mentality as a lot of those games where you suddenly get it and you learn the movements of the. It wasn't even a full boss; it was like a mini boss. This weird fucking thing with a chain around its neck and like, you know, the stocks that they used to put people in and throw things at them. It's got like one of them around its head and its hands are all trapped and it's just fucking horrible. Ooh. And it took me ages, but managed to do it. But anyway, so. It's a From Software game, but it's very different in a lot of aspects. So the biggest kind of thing that struck me was the fluidity of your movement and the speed at which you do so. So you're a shinobi, so you would expect there to be a lot of swiftness to his movements. And whereas Dark Souls is very methodical and Bloodborne is a bit kind of faster. You've got your grappling hook in this, so you're constantly flying around if you choose to higher levels, so a tree trunk or a top of a building for good vantage points on attacking your enemies. That you can run very fast and kind of just getting around is a lot smoother than their games have been before. And the combat itself is different because you don't have a light and a strong attack. You have your sword, your katana, which you use to fight with. Obviously, you don't use it to fucking eat your breakfast. I don't know why I said that.
Maybe he does. You don't know.
Maybe he does. So your R1 button, you will attack with. And instead of a kind of on the smaller enemies, at least there's like a health bar, but it's not a health bar. It's like a defense bar. So the more you strike down their defense, they once it's gone, they're left vulnerable for you to deliver like a killer blow with your blade, and it goes full on like Kill Bill, like straight through the throat. Then you pull Amazing. The sword out, and the shower of blood flows from the wound. It's very stylish, very like what you kind of expect from the devs. It's, I mean, there's a lot of different enemy types as well. It's not as dreary as Bloodborne, obviously. It's beautiful in its own way. Japan's a lovely country, and it's set in the 16th century during the Sengoku period of like unrest, and it's delightful to look at, and just everything you expect. Like the music's gorgeous, the variations of enemies is spot on, and the kind of the movement's very, very different, and it's just a wonderful kind of game, really.
So to talk about the movement and just the enemy variety in general, right? Ever since I've seen how you can just like the traversal in the game in general, like, so you touched upon that there for a second, that you can just go to trees and stuff like that, right? In my head, it seems that there's going to be certain enemies that are just going to be so fast that I think did you come across anything like that where, like, an enemy was able to reach you exactly where you were and stuff if you were up high?
So when when I was, I mean, you're still, like, the best way to play is still through kind of stealth. Like, you don't want to be getting a couple of enemies' attention because, like other games, they're going to, like Dark Souls, if you come up against two gods, you're going to have less of a chance of beating them. than you will against one. You have to kind of treat every soldier, you know, on their own and try not to kind of get anyone else involved. But when, like, I got someone's attention and I found a way high up, if their speciality is like a melee weapon, then you're pretty fine, because no one followed me up there. But there are archers in there, and there's a bloody like bazooka thing that fires like these bombs at you. So there are certain things that will attack you if you're high up, but most of the time, if you're above their level, they're not going to see you, and you wait for them to get by, and you can launch off and stealth kill them. So that kind of helps.
How did the difficulty feel? Because I'm pretty certain they said that this is going to be one of their hardest games. And just going off of like the no stamina bar and all that kind of stuff, to me that seems like a great advantage for me personally, because like that's where I kind of like made all my mistakes in like any of the Souls games, and Bloodborne is just managing that stamina bar.
Yeah, well that's very satisfying, because you can run away and not get tired. And if you wanted to, you could spam the R1 button, but that's where the skill comes involved. You'll never get tired by constantly using your katana, but the enemies are smart. Like they won't just allow you to attack them. They'll block, they'll move, they'll try and get around you, they'll try and get behind you. And that's kind of how it's replaced. The difficulty's ramped up in a different kind of way, not just stronger enemies, but smarter enemies. So there's a lot to take in, and it is difficult. And at its core, it does have all the elements of a FromSoft game and what makes them so appealing. And there are challenges outside of your typical soldiers. There are different enemies I found that I wasn't expecting. There's like these ones that spin towards you with a sword, like bolt at you, and you have to dodge. And that's another thing. When you're fighting an enemy which is about to deliver like a crushing blow itself, so a little Japanese symbol will pop up in red, and then they then deliver their attack. So we'll go back to that mini boss I was fighting. He's like a wrestler almost. Yeah. He'll grab you, pick you up, throw you into the floor. That's kind of one of his specials. So if you see that icon appear, you need to dodge out of the way as fast as possible and not get into its line of sight, or else it'll grab you. And if your health bar isn't at its maximum, you'll die straight away. And there are other enemies, just like not your bosses, but just your soldiers that come at you with all sorts. And the icon will pop up, and you know they won't completely wipe out your health like the bosses do, but it does take a lot of your damage down and your guard down. So it is tough, but it's a new kind of challenge, I think, and I reckon people will dig it. I think it's a good solid game.
Was there
game.
Anything in particular from the preview that you got to play? Was there anything that you weren't too gone on or questioning, like, that you'd need to play the full game in order to see how that works?
I'd like to start the game from scratch and just kind of play through it gradually, because I'm not entirely sure where I was starting, whether it was right. I think it was right at the start, because there was some cutscenes and that which explained bits of the story, and then you kind of get cracking. But I need more time with it because it is a difficult game to play, and I haven't got the time to master everything about the wolf, is his name, the one-armed wolf. Because outside of getting used to the katanas and the movement, you've got prosthetic arm. You can add attachments to it. So that kind of acts like your heavy attack in a way. You press the R2 button to use them, and you can equip a range of them. Like I saw the there's like a giant axe which you can attach to it, which is very much like a heavy attack with the axe in like Bloodborne, for example. And like your shurikens, the stars that you can throw, like very famous ninja weapon, you can use them and you can fire off a flurry of them, and they're very good for like ranged attacks. So people that are firing at you with bows and arrows, they've not got any defense, so their health gets wiped out straight away. But then again, you use them with a guy with a sword or a or an axe or a shield, and then it's pointless and you've wasted them. But the kind of the core concepts, like the bonfires, are now replaced with things called sculptor's idols, which you rest at. You can upgrade your prosthetic arm, and there's other things you can do which change it a little bit, but it does feel very similar in that way. They didn't seem like really far apart either, which was kind of cool. Like in the first area, there was at least three before I got to a proper difficult bit. So I'm wondering if that might change. I mean, it might be really difficult, but there are places to save at. And another cool feature is the resurrection. So at each of these sculptor's idols, when you rest, you restore your resurrection. You only get one from this bit. I mean, it might increase, but at this point, you only got one resurrection. So if you're fighting someone and they kill you and you die, your dead will pop up. However, you can press R1 to resurrect on the spot with half your health. So say you're fighting a boss and it kills you after you've like been so careful to try and take it down, and then it does that thing that all of them do, whereas it comes out of nowhere, you get sloppy and it completely takes your life away. Press resurrection, you come back, and you can kill it and with half life, brilliant. There's things like Esther's flasks, which don't exist in this, but it's called health gourd, which is exactly the same thing. There's oil, there's like fistful of ash that you could throw at them to disorientate them. So there are a lot of things that are similar, but they've kind of gone out of the way. It's like I said in the preview, it's like an evolution of their engine, and they found a good place to use it in this kind of setting with these kind of enemies and this kind of worry, because it hasn't been done before, really. They kind of have a niche. There's no craft, there's no class system, there's no creative character either. You're playing this character that's already there. So that's another thing. You don't really focus on any one particular element before you play, and you can't really go, right, well, I like to play like this, so I'm going to use this to play through the game. You are set with this one character.
I wonder if took out like the character creator because they're sick of streamers and that making like the hideous things, you know, like the most hideous beasts they can make. They're probably just like, no, fuck it. You get to play as this character. That's it. Don't start messing. This is all you've got.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Here's the Joker in Bloodborne. Like, brilliant. I don't care. Oh, yeah, so there's a good chance, mate. But there's a good basis for a story here as well. Like, it's really well made, and it's like visually striking. Like, it's on another level. And there's like, it's not dark. It's not just dreary or gothic or, you know, I know like Bloodborne, not particularly, but Dark Souls did have a lot of beautiful moments. Like, there was a lot of beautiful settings, but this is just like nature. This is natural beauty. Like, in this world, there's the famous cherry blossoms, or the Shenmue, which is what the trees are called. I don't know if you knew what that meant, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
So there you go, throwing that out. There's like a woodland, which before you get to this monastery, it's so peaceful. And there's just some lovely settings from the three kind of areas that I went to. There's like a big like fort, or not a fort, like a estate, where it's just all on fire and it's just burning, and it's just like the way that they've got it just to look like the flames are just stunning. Like, they're just, they've real attention to detail. So there's a lot of good about it, but it's 2 hours of a God knows how long game, and add all the dying in. You know, I'd love to say I'd like to review this, but it wouldn't be fair.
It's
because
a very difficult one.
I wouldn't be able to get through it.
Yeah.
So it'd be pointless.
But it's even as a preview sense, it's a difficult one to, I imagine, coming away from, because like, even if I went to it, I guarantee you my 2 hours of playing would have been just on one boss. Do you know what I mean? Like, trying to get by. That's just,
well,
that's the whole idea.
That's true. I mean, that's how I was. And then one of the guys went, we could skip you along if you like. So inside I was thinking, yeah, he thinks I'm shit at this.
He's like, here fella, you gotta move on.
Yeah. But also, I got to see more of it, so I was thankful. Because otherwise, like, if I'm coming back with that same fucking 2 hours of the same level, the same footage over and over again of just copious amounts of death, like, I'm just going to be, like, I just, you know, it just wouldn't look very good. So I was able to move on. But, it's promising. And I genuinely think people that can kind of fly through these games are going to get something out of it. If they just set the setting, I think you'll enjoy it, mate. I think it does look very promising.
Cool.
So another game I've been playing, which was for review, which I wanted to talk about last week, but we talked a lot about Devil May Cry and other stuff. And I would have much preferred not to talk about Toe Jam and Earl, but you know, I played that before The Occupation, so we kind of had to get that in. But yeah, The Occupation. So, did any of you guys play Ether 1?
No.
So it's like, it's kind of like Gone Home. Well, no, I don't want to say that because it wasn't. I don't, this like, because when
Gone
I say...
Gone Home has been mentioned twice, lads. There's two games here.
You know, when I say something's like Gone Home, like Gone Home was like exceptional. Ether 1 was good, but it was glitchy and there were issues with it. But it was White Paper Games' first kind of game. It's a first person narrative, whatever they're called, you know, everybody's gone to the raptures and all that. Where it was based around Alzheimer's, and you were going into this woman's memory and trying to piece together whatever she could remember to kind of try and save her. Whereas this is very different, and it's a very smart concept at its core, and there's a lot of this game that I think is really good. So it all happens in real time. And what's happened, it's set in the 80s in the northwest of England, Gary. so you play as a reporter and you're trying to uncover what's going on within the government. There's a lot of shady stuff happening. And
sounds like the northwest.
Like the first level is set in this office is for this. So I'll try not to give too much away, but it's like an office. There's a lot of people that work there, different security clearances. There's a lot of different computers with very, very important information on. With it being in the 80s, there's floppy disks and CFAX and all sorts. It's amazing.
So, like, anyone sort of under the age of, like, 18 playing it will be like, oh, what the fuck this shit is?
What the fuck is... what the fuck's a floppy disk? What's that? But it's great because it's amazing how... And that is like 80s music playing on some of the radios. It's very nostalgic in like not of video games, but just of a time we all kind of grew up in. So it's very cool in that sense. But the first level, you go to reception and they're like, you've got a meeting with this lady at 4 o'clock. Make yourself comfy and we'll head in an hour. So you've literally got an hour to go around, try and find whatever information you can. There are different ways to get around. You can go, there's vents, there's ways to acquire key cards. You use your, like, you with these kind of games, you can pick up things and you can put things down and you can put things in your briefcase or in your bag or whatever. There's like, to turn the computer on, it's got a computer, like you have to open the glass cabinet, then you have to turn it on, then you have to pop the floppy disk in, then you have to boot it up, then you have to put a password in. It's very realistic and it's very smart. And like when you're up against the clock, there's a lot of kind of challenging things for you to kind of do before you get there. But at the same time, say you don't uncover all the information you need, the game still carries on till it gets to the end. And it kind of, by the time you reach a certain point, if you've not acquired the right kind of information or the amount of information, then you will struggle. And I don't want to say too much more of that, but it's quite a good political thriller in all sense, because what's going on, I know people like to find relatable kind of things in all games when it comes to politics. Like people will look at a game and go, oh, that's got political connotations of the world we're living in and all this. But it does, and it just goes to show you how fucked it was back then and how fucked it is now. But that's another matter. But as I say, the game, I think I gave it 6.5, and it was mainly down to some really frustrating bugs. And one of them came towards the end where you've you do something and then the game is supposed to move on and the character is supposed to continue talking in front of you, but it just froze. And I was just looking at a screen and I was able to look around and move, but I only had a little area to do so because I was sat down on in this chair and there was nothing I could do. So I was like, is something supposed to happen? Have I missed something? I had to turn it off, turn it back on, and it took me right back to the start of that bit, which was frustrating. That happened earlier in the game, but it was more, I couldn't activate something to move it, to get through. So then I had to restart and do it all again. So that in itself was annoying. And then there was
that's frustrating.
Dialogue itself, which dialogue in this game is like of vital importance. But the subtitles are always on. They were always on for me. And when I got to this part, the subtitles went off and also the game started like skipping, like frame rate started to go off and the dialogue just was broken. And like, I'm supposed to be paying attention to what people are telling me, but how can I do that if the game is broken in that way? So, you know, I'd like to think it's fixed now. We were made aware there might be a couple of issues, but these aren't issues. These are like, game breaking. I had to reset my console.
Yeah, that sounds game breaking.
I shouldn't have to reset my console. Yeah, and it was frustrating. And there were little bits like that throughout, which kind of ruined it a bit. But like, if they're fixed now, then I mean, people have given it 4.5 out of 5, 9 out of 10s. You know, people might not have experienced these, which is fine. But you know, I did. But the game itself was really good, and I'm kind of happy I've played it, but it's like the first game they made was kind of riddled with some of these bugs where I had to reset my console, and it's like it shouldn't really be happening. But you know, it does. But you know, if it's fixed and it pops onto PS Plus sometime in the future, I'll definitely get it because it's a very smart, well written game, and the voice acting is really good as well. And it's always good to hear like set in England because it's all very familiar. Yeah. And the accents are fantastic. Like, cool. It was just like playing with Gary.
Yes.
It might have been. I don't know. But yeah, no, it was ace. But before we move on to the listener correspondence, guys, you've been playing Apex Legends.
I have. I finally jumped on this one. You know, as usually, I'm late to this sort of shit. it's online games. I rarely play them sort of at the start.
Yeah, that's fair, but I mean, I'm the same.
I like it. I think it's really good. It's very much Titanfall without the Titans kind of thing. You know, it's the way the gameplay works, the way the movement is. And the only issues I've had so far have literally just been other people.
That's apparently coming into place heavily.
It's just the shit, because I think some people are playing it like they play any online shoot. They're just like, they're in it for themselves. And it's like, you're part of this three-man team. You know, there's no, I hate to say it, but there's no I in team kind of thing. You know, it's when I'm running and I'm obviously going for this weapon and someone literally just runs in and steals it from under me, I'm like, that's not teamwork. You know, that's you just going, fuck it, I'm playing. And then, you know, they all run off and do their own thing. And it's just like, why? I get the whole thing, you know, you can move away from each other on the drop, but it's like, that's cool. You know, you go to like your own area, so you're going to loot that area and you all come back together. Hopefully, to be fair, it's only happened a couple of times, you know, out of like a dozen matches. So it's like, it's not a massive problem. It's just one of those things that just irks you. You know, you just, if you're playing a team game, play the team game. Don't be a tool, basically. But when it's good, it's really good, you know. And I've had so much fun with it so far. The shooting's spot on, you know. It's, you can tell these guys know what they're doing. You already knew that anyway from Titanfall and Titanfall 2, and obviously they came from Call of Duty and stuff like that beforehand, so they know what they're doing. But they've taken the battle royale formula and just run with it, basically. And sliding down hills as well, just always fun. Don't care who you are, if you don't enjoy the sliding down the hill, there's something wrong with you.
What is there, people saying this?
I'm just putting it out there, basically, that if you don't like this,
If someone has given out about sliding in
yeah,
a game,
it's like if someone doesn't like sliding down the hill, we can't be friends, I'm afraid. It's not happening.
I wish you actually reviewed this game, Gaz, and that's the quote they took off you. I love sliding around the place.
It's like a box quote thing, something. Yeah, if you don't like sliding down hills, we can't be friends.
Yeah. How do you find the kind of, I suppose, the difficulty of it? Like, do you get frustrated by coming out of a match and absolutely probably just getting no damage whatsoever done to anybody?
No, that's pretty much standard for me in shooters online anyway.
Yeah, because there's a couple of people finding it frustrating, you know. They go in and they, but I don't know. Like, it's just some people are getting annoyed by the fact they cannot get a kill, you know.
I just think, if you just go into it thinking, I just want to get kills, then you're kind of missing the point. Yeah. The idea is to survive, basically. You know, if you have to fight, but it's not always about that. Like any of the Battle Royale games, you know, it's not always about just running and killing everyone. It's about making sure you've got the gear to survive the end, and, you know, you've got a bit of strategy to it, and you've got the specials, the abilities for each character. I'm not entirely certain it needs to be a character, like a hero shooter, but it still works. You know, you've still got some of the...
Who's your go-to?
Mine at the minute is... balls, I can't remember her name. She's basically the soldier type. She's got the ability...
Bangalore,
is it?
The football, I'm
terrible at remembering the names of these characters.
That's the one I go for all the time.
Just purely because I'm kind of the blunt instrument when it comes to these games. I'm not very, I'm not particularly strategic. But I will at some point start fiddling around with the other characters, see what they can do. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I always find it... You get a little bit anxious when it's in the character select screen and you're the last one. Or you're the first one, and it's kind of like, what if I pick the character that's what someone else wanted, or someone else picks my character?
I said it before, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, but that happened where a guy, there was just three of us there, two of the guys had mics on, I was the only one who didn't, and then one of the guys went for one of the characters that the other guy wanted, and he lost.
I remember this now.
Remember I said he just had a free, and I was just sitting there looking at the screen going, this fella's gonna fucking explode. I was I'd love to have just gotten on my headset and just been like, here, calm down, it's a moment there.
it's a game. It's just a game. Chill.
but that's the thing, people actually are getting very thick over you taking the character that they want.
It's almost like that playground thing where it's like, I want to be Batman, you know. They're all just that. I want to be the best character.
I've played one game, and the one game was the one I told you about, Adam. I can't play with other people. I'm too anxious. I need to go on with friends because I just can't be dealing with
that. It's fair.
So I'm waiting for a time where we all get to be free for a bit to play it, because I feel like I'm missing out big time. The new thing that everyone's playing, but just because it sounds like a really good game.
Yeah, I've yet to actually play it with friends. I think the reason I stuck with it is because I can just instantly mute the people and kind of work with
the ping
system.
The ping
system
is excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But the thing is, when you're doing this and then some fucking guy or whatever comes up to you and he just starts shooting at your face and you're like, I did nothing. What's your problem? I don't understand some people's issues. They get really annoyed if you're not pinning stuff. And I know that that's the case. You're supposed to do that. But some things aren't, when you're looking at your teammates setups, you're like, oh, you don't, nobody needs this right now, but then somebody will get really thick if you don't ping it, do you know? And when all that starts happening in any sort of online game, it just becomes rubbish. You don't want to be in a game where you're pissing off someone. Do you know what I mean? That's why if we did Apex together, similar when we did Monster Hunter it's going to be the best.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's, I mean, I still remember when we played PUBG and, like, you had, like, Chris accidentally shot me, I accidentally shot him, and it's just, like, there was all sorts of things going. It's just, you do get a good laugh out of it when you're with other people.
Yeah,
because you're kind of playing it the same way, but, you know, things go wrong, and you just, you laugh about it. I mean, I think I was quite lucky in my first game on Apex, because it's like, the other two players, I think, were probably like level 30 or something like that each, and they obviously it comes up at the start who you're playing with, and it's like, mine, there's like no level, there is nothing here, you know, so they were obviously like, right, this dude doesn't know a thing. So it's like, we got into a bit of a fight early on, and I was basically, I had no health kind of thing, and dudes came over, you know, it's like, here's some help, dropping health for me, and one of them was the healer character, so she threw out the little healing droid thing, and I like the fact that it's like, they do that, you ping it, like you use it, and you've got the ability, it comes up where you can press the button, it'll say thanks, and it's kind of like that nice little moment where it's like, they're looking after me, basically, they're knowing this you know, this guy's probably an idiot, so let's at least try and keep him alive. But no, it was it was a good thing, though, you know, it's like, okay, this is how your first game on these things should be. To be fair, this is how all the games should be in an ideal world. I know that's a little bit sort of naive, but it would be nice if everyone played like that, and it wasn't like just always getting so angry over just things that basically don't need it, you know.
Yeah, it's annoying that, like, you will see probably more angry sides of a game like that, you know, than you would, like, oh, that was just a great moment, as you said, like, someone helping you and you thanking each other. Like, for me, I get so angry when, like, you go into a game and the three of you are just, like, you're going down. And, you know, the way it gives you the option to, like, just kind of, like, take off on your own. I wish that didn't exist, straight up, because there is people who are just, like, just completely ignoring the squad side of it. And just, like, you'd be going out and one guy just drifts off to the other side of the map and he's doing his own thing, and then you might get shot and he's nowhere there to revive you or something, and you're just kind of going, and then you look at their stats and you're like, they're like insanely high, and it's just like, they're ignorant. That's an ignorant way of playing this game.
Yeah, it's not,
I think,
playing it how it's supposed to be played, basically.
Not at all. And it sucks when it happens, because you're just like, now I have to go through all the loading and getting into another game, and hopefully I'll have a decent crew.
I feel like they could do is the bit where you can split apart, maybe it only becomes an option once you're a certain distance from the ground, so you can't go too far away. So it almost like at least keeps you together as much as possible. Because when they can just bugger off to the other side of the map, you know, if you and the other player are playing together well or whatever, you know, it's cool, but if you get downed, or you both get downed, that's it. There's no way you're going to get revived, because he's on the other side of the map. And he's... I keep saying he, you know, but to be fair, it probably is. And you just know that they wouldn't be like, oh, I'll go back and try and find their... I forget what it's called. Basically, like your dog tags from Titanfall. Your banner, that's it. They wouldn't bother with that, because they're just like, you know, I'm on my own. I'm trying to win by myself or whatever. It's just like, if it had a solo mode, cool. But it doesn't, so don't play it that way.
It has... Look, I could be completely wrong in this as well, but I'm like, I didn't see an option where you were able to, like, add the squad to your, like, friends online. Like, there didn't seem to be a feature to do that, you know, like, where you can kind of go...
I don't remember seeing anything like that myself either.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because I remember I had one amazing game with these two other players, and, like, it was so good, and we were, like, everyone was helping each other, and we actually got, like, second place, and it just felt great, and I was kind of going, I would happily add these two people now for future games if it ever came about. But they didn't seem to... I know, like, you can just write down the name or take a photo of their tag. Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Just for on-the-fly kind of stuff, it would be kind of handy, do you know? Because I think that's what... If you were able to do that, at least then you could filter out the kind of nonsense kind of people that are coming in just ruining it. And you could kind of... If you saw that other person online, you could just be like, hey, do you want to go in and have another round? Yeah,
it'd be nice if they even added, like... You know, like in Overwatch, where you can basically select to stay as a team. You know, so like you could do that. Yeah, you'd stay as a squad, exactly. And you could then go into the next match together and stuff like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, because it just disappears. It's just like round off, yeah. And you're out. And you're like, oh, it's like, see you later, guys. Yeah, it's a shame. But yeah, are you going to stick?
I think
with
I
it?
Will. Yeah, I mean, I've downloaded it on both PS4 and Xbox, so I've got the option of, yeah. You know, if anyone wants to play it on Xbox, can do. If we've got like, because I think most of us are playing it PS4 really on the site. So if we're going to do something that way, I've got it on both. So it's nice to. Yeah, I could get it on PC as well, but I'd be shocking on PC because I can't.
Oh,
it's
geez,
like
so would I,
I'm bad enough with a controller, but mouse and keyboard, I just don't stand a chance. So I'll just pretend that the PC version doesn't exist.
Yeah. I think we should definitely get on a couple of games together.
I'd
of
love
us.
That.
I think it'd be a lot.
It's just
fun.
A shame you can only have three. Yeah. You know, it'd be cool if you could have bigger teams, or maybe they'll add that. You know, further down the line, they'll do like events where you've got bigger teams or solo modes or whatever. You know, they probably will. They'll probably go that route eventually.
Hmm. Yeah, but yeah, that's Apex Legends. So we're on to listener correspondence now. Thank you for everyone that sent us a question. Thomas at LlamaFluff42, how many Easter eggs have you eaten already? None, because I'm a boring twat.
I've had absolutely zero. However, I am amazed at how early Easter eggs come out now.
It's literally New Year's Day, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty much like Christmas over, New Year's over, Easter's next.
Yeah. Let's say, very quickly though, like just to stay on this question, favourite Easter egg, lads?
It's got to be a Cadbury's one, because maybe I love the Cadbury's chocolate eggs.
Yeah, maybe like a caramel. You know, you get like the Cadbury's caramel bar with it as well, and you get like the nice Cadbury's chocolate for the egg.
Do you ever have the caramel eggs?
Have you haven't, them? No.
Oh, fuck, man,
they're good shit. However, it's been a few years since I had one, and they've all changed now, haven't they? They're a lot smaller. The chocolate's different, I think. Ugh. Like, they've changed it. Like, the cream eggs are all different, aren't they? They used to be bigger, obviously, but they've changed the formula.
The ingredients.
No, I don't think, not I totally. Don't just, I don't know.
I don't think they're very different when you eat them out of, like, the is it Heroes or Celebrations that they're in? When they have that twisted version.
Heroes. Oh, Twisted. Heroes. Okay. They're good bars.
Yeah, but the thing is, an actual cream egg is far superior. It's the weirdest thing. It's the same thing, but
no,
just
I,
there's
I
something
get that,
about it.
It's like when you have, again, just sort of going to the caramel thing, like you have like the caramel ones. There's something about the small ones that just, it's not got quite the same flavour.
Mm. Yeah. It's like a Kit Kat and a Kit Kat Chunky. The Chunkies can piss off.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I don't know what's going on.
Sorry. No, I'm all about the Chunkies.
Do you know? I would have to say Kinder Joy is my Easter egg of choice. Yeah, because you just get to have a great toy at the end to play with. Fantastic.
Have you ever had the Choco Blocks?
Choco Blocks?
Yeah, they're like obviously they're Easter eggs, but like at the front of the Easter egg, there's like there's a Rocky Road one. So the front of it's like about an inch thick with like marshmallow and biscuity bits and just fucking fudge. Oh, they're good, man. My mum buys me one every year. Still, bless her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
I'm looking at it here. It looks insane.
Yeah, there's loads of different ones as well, but there's like a cookies and cream one, but like, I think it's the Rocky Road one. That's really nice.
Jesus, so, 2019 and I'm on the Tesco website looking at chocolate black eggs.
Living life to the max.
Living life.
Next question from Tom again. I don't know if it's Tom. I don't know if you prefer to be called Tom or Thomas, but I'm going to call you Tom because I like you. I use gaming as a memory aid for gym lockers, usually picking Agent 47 or Suda 51. Is this sad, brilliant, or both? Please discuss. I think it's absolutely fine, mate. It's no different to picking a birthday. It's something that you clearly care about, so there you go.
I do use a lot of, like, when it comes to like codes and stuff like that, I would normally go down a gaming route, so I kind of get what he's on about. The thing is though, I haven't seen a gym locker in about 3 years, so
yeah, I was thinking that. I haven't. Yeah. Gary, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of on the same. I've not been to a gym, like, well, yeah, just ever, while, yeah. Actually. I've never been to the gym.
Are you a fan of lockers, Gary?
Why would I be a fan of lockers?
Well, look, do you know the world's a mad place?
I think the last time I like used a locker was last year when I went out lockers? For my birthday. Like, we went to this place called Inflatonation, which was like massive, basically inflatable theme park kind of thing where you jump around on shit. It's great.
Let's rewind there just a
go
smidgen,
for it.
Okay. Were you just able to tell our listeners and us the last time you used a locker?
Yeah. Because it's like the only time I've used one in probably God knows how many years.
I could not at all remember. Because I just don't think it's that much of a moment being with a locker. I'm just like, you know, I can just imagine you going, fuck it, this is absolutely unreal. This is just... This locker is something else.
Well, like, that's my like closet obsession is like lockers. I collect lockers.
Collect lockers, yeah. Jesus, you're full of surprises.
Video games, racing, lockers. The Gary story.
I'm sure nobody would be surprised. Question. They'd be like, what a boring cunt.
Hey! Nothing wrong with lockers, mate. You love them. Everyone leave you alone. Lyle Carr at Fish Chips. Whoops. What's your favourite video game intro mission? Recently, Forza Horizon 4 made me think of this, but there have also been some incredible opening sequences over the years. This is a really good question.
This is a very good question.
I think one of the obvious ones, for me at least, is The Last of Us. I think that was excellent.
Metal Gear Solid.
Bloody hell.
Now you've got that whole opening sequence and the...
Oh shit, that was all before the bloody thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
Hell, this is...
Breath of the Wild. I say it's not like a mission, it was just... fuck it. No, it wasn't. It was shit. Nothing happens. I'm just thinking of the bit before the kind of credits appear over the
which
well,
you couldn't really
you
do that with
hill.
Something like Assassin's Creed, because Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you've got about 7 hours before you hit the title screen.
You bloody do, yeah. What was your favourite set of intro missions? Oh, Assassin's Creed, yeah. It's mental. Oh, God.
Yeah. I would definitely probably go Metal Gear Solid as well.
Yeah,
just because I just remember the demos of that mission.
Silent Hill, the original Silent Hill. Whole sequence is just nope, full of nope. It's so well done, though.
Yeah, yeah, it's a masterpiece.
What? Do you know what? Right, this probably isn't a question for right now because it'll probably require some thinking. But I think next week we should answer. Openings of games that were just kind of like whatever. Like, do you ever really think of like an opening and go, the opening was a bit shit, but it got great?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know? There's not many that can come to mind.
Yeah, it's definitely one to chew on.
To be fair, like, this question, Devil May Cry, the new Devil May Cry game, that's got some sexy intro. Like,
yeah.
Like, and then it just carries on being phenomenal. But that intro for Devil May Cry, get on it if you haven't played it, guys, because that's really good. Second to last question from Darren at Rotten. If you could choose a game world for your boss to spend a day in, what would it be?
Ooh.
I love all my bosses and would only wish the best for them. Mm-hmm. Kirby's Dream World, like, Kirby must be lovely. You give him a good cuddle and have some grass or whatever. I don't know.
Stick him in like Breath of the Wild. It's fine. You know, just forage a bit. It's fine. It gets out of a bit of a nice
forage a bit.
Have a bit of a nice time taking the view. You know, we'll just pretend that there's not like weird creatures around that'll murder them.
Yeah. Eat some apples. Yeah. Climb some trees.
Spend time with a creepy old man that wants to give you his like glider for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go out there and say that I had one boss that I did not like, and honestly, if I had to pick a game for this particular person, I would probably have to go with Saw.
I think we've all had a boss like that, I reckon. Where it's just like, just yeah.
Everyone has had a boss like this. You just go spend
your time in, like, I don't know, something like Doom, but, you know, they obviously wouldn't survive because fuck them.
But if I had to, like, if I had to pick a game for all the bosses that I thought were great, I don't know, Super Mario Odyssey or something.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice one as well.
What about if we put all the bosses we've had that we didn't like into Mortal Kombat and then just let them fight it out? Yeah,
that would be fucking... And we control us, that would be amazing.
And then, like, the winner of the tournament, you just kill anyway. You just walk out, like, just walk out and stab him
in
the face.
This episode got dark. There you go. This episode got very dark.
Same question we ask every week, courtesy of McPoo. You have to spend the next 24 hours in the world of your last video game. Will you survive, and will you have a nice time?
The last game I played was, I think it was Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Bloody hell, really?
Weird. Wow.
I was at friends, and it was kind of like we just stuck it on, played a bit of that. So I probably still wouldn't survive because, you know, it's a war zone. Mm. Nice time. Maybe, you know, I've got a decent Jedi by my side or something. Have a bit of a laugh before I'm slaughtered. But, you know.
Not to sidetrack off of the game,
but how is that at the moment,
still
guys?
Still great. I mean, I like that they've added so much to it, and it's nice that you can play just like all like single player or like co-op split screen without going online now. So you've got all the modes and stuff you can play on. So yeah, it's very good. I need to go back and play the main game actually, because I finished the campaign on PS4, but I recently bought it again on the Xbox One because I was like, I want to see what it's like on the X, basically. Being a 4K whore and everything. And like, I've only played a bit, but I need to play it because I want to play the extra, like the epilogue stuff that they added, because I never got to play it on the PS4. So I'd like to see sort of the proper end to the story. That's yet to happen. So pretty much anticlimax to the story, but there you go.
I would pick, like, obviously I mentioned Shadow of War was my game. Would I survive? Hard to tell. Would I have a nice time? I absolutely love Lord of the Rings, so I'd probably be smiling. So
chilling out in the Shire, mate. Get some pipe weeds and just have a blast at the big festivals and parties.
It'd be really strange if in Shadow of War you could just go to the Shire, though. If that was like the hub.
Oh, man. That's what I want for the next game.
I would love a proper open world Lord of the Rings game. I think the closest we've had, other than like there was the Lord of the Rings Online, which I never got to play, but the Lego Lord of the Rings one, you could actually go around the whole world, basically. That was quite cool, but it'd be nice if you actually had like a big Witcher-style RPG or something like that, where you were in...
Oh, gosh.
Like, on Middle-earth? Is it in or on Middle-earth?
In random Middle-earth. Random aside.
I like another sidetracking thing, but, like, the TV show that's coming out, they're just been announcing, like...
Yes.
Little bits and pieces and putting up the map and stuff and... Like, saying it's going to be in the second age and all that jazz. Like, I am so, so up for it. I cannot wait for that.
I wonder if they'll, like... I don't think they'll feature Talion from Shadow of War, but, it'd be cool if they acknowledged his existence, just even a mention, because TV shows do that.
It would be unreal.
Yeah, so, yeah, it might
be cool. If they did have, like, a cameo from Talion, it'd be cool if they got Troy Baker in. Get him made up and shit. You know, just a walk on part or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would. I played Dead or Alive for the first time today, so I'd have a fucking blast. I'd just spectate though for 24 hours if I was allowed. Because there's a lot of muscly men in that game, and they're all strong and cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there we go.
You played it for the article.
That's this week's podcast. Yeah, mate. Yeah. To be, it's another chat. But I might chat about it next week when I've played a bit more. But I'm liking it. I'm liking it so far. But yeah, that's it for this week. Thank you all for listening. You can go and check out all the games we've been talking about in either a video form or review form or something. We'll have it on the website. My preview and the video that Adam put together of the event is up there. The Occupation review is up there, Close to the Sun as well, and Nick's review of Apex Legends. So go and check them out. Lots more stuff on godisgeek.com. You can also support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/godisgeek, giving us a dollar or two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or nine or ten if you prefer. Whatever you can give us, just give us, and we can get to all these events and stuff. It's much appreciated. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. You can follow Adam at Adam Zokes and Gary at BlueFury47 and me at FirstAvenger83. Thank you all for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.